The book of Acts, chapter 1. You might think we're getting stuck here in the book of Acts. We're not. We're in the book of Acts in Sunday school, and we're all the way over in chapter 11 as we go chapter by chapter through the book. Then Sunday evening, I preach from the book of Acts also, because when I teach through it in Sunday school, I can't possibly cover everything that's in there. We would have to come to a screeching halt to look at everything that's in the book of Acts. So Sunday night I preached a message, or was it Sunday morning? It was Sunday morning I preached a message about Paul preaching to the Jews as opposed to preaching to the Gentiles, and the difference in his three sermons that are recorded there in the book of Acts. So that was a thought that came across my mind as I was studying for Sunday school, but didn't have time in Sunday school to chase that rabbit, so to speak. Well, there's another one tonight, and we're gonna start in Acts chapter 1 and verse number 4, and then read down in chapter 2 a verse or two, and then go from there. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 4. This is after Jesus had walked on the earth 40 days after His ascension from the grave, and just as He was getting ready to ascend in heaven and being assembled together with them, His disciples, He commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith He, ye have heard of Me. Jesus says in verse 5, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. There's the phrase we're going to emphasize this evening. Baptized with the Holy Ghost. What is that? Baptized with the Holy Ghost. It says, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Well, not many days hence is chapter 2 and verse number 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound of heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. That's the phrase we're going to look at tonight. Filled with the Holy Ghost. The Bible says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Father, tonight we're looking at the meat of Your Word, and God, we need it. Father, Sunday morning, Lord, we feast on the milk. God, we kind of bring it down to an easier level. Sunday night, God, a little more to chew on. And Father, this Wednesday night, something that is very in-depth and, Lord, very controversial and, Lord, hard to understand for some folks. So I pray You give us clarity of thought, clarity of speech. Lord, help us to allow the Scriptures to speak for themselves and try not to interject our own thoughts and views that is there, but Father, to glean from the Word of God. Help us to look at the baptism with the Holy Ghost, being filled with the Holy Ghost, and see what these two phrases are all about. We ask for Your blessing tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Most of you will remember that for quite a while, I don't know if it was a year, but almost a year, we had a fellow visiting us, would sit right back here behind where Gary and Dave are back there. And he would come in on Sunday mornings, and he was visiting us. And he was from the Assembly of God Church. And he was put out with the Assembly of God because they were not using the King James Version. They were using the NIV and some other issues he had. So he wandered our direction and came to our church. And he really enjoyed being here. He enjoyed the preaching. He enjoyed being fed. He was a student of the Bible, or professed to be, and he really enjoyed everything. Well, some of you folks that enjoy our Sunday school study of the book of Acts told him, you really should be here for the book of Acts. And that's right, he should be. There's no problem there. And so he came. And he came on the Sunday morning of all Sundays that we were in Acts chapter 2 with the day of Pentecost and the speaking in tongues and all those kind of things. And if you're familiar with the Assembly of God, that's one of the mainstays of their faith and their religion, is the speaking with tongues. And as I was teaching the Sunday school lesson, I could hear him back there mumbling and murmuring, though I could not make out the words. He was sitting back there, and there was just a dull little noise going the whole time I was teaching, and I couldn't understand it. But Brother Matthews told me later, because he's sitting right in front of him, he said, "I don't believe that. That's not what I think. That's not what I believe." When we get to anything that has to do with the Holy Ghost or the Spirit of God, there are so many different teachings and variety of teachings out there that it really is challenging to try to put all of that out of our mind and go with what the Bible says. Most of us have been preconditioned to know what we believe before we read the Bible. You know what I'm saying? I hope I'm not telling you something you don't realize. We're so used to hearing it our way that when we read it our way. And it's not necessarily wrong, but sometimes it is better to be able to put all that out of your mind and read it as if you're reading it for the very first time. Many times before I read my Bible in the morning, I pray and say, "God, help me to read this like I'm reading it for the very first time." Not to get to it's so easy for me to get to a passage the minute a story starts. I know that story. And so I find myself reading very quickly down through it, and I'm missing something when I do that. We need to read it like we're reading it for the very first time and pay attention to what we're reading. When it comes to this teaching about the Holy Spirit and these two phrases, the one in chapter 1, verse 5, baptized with the Holy Ghost, and the phrase in chapter 2 and verse number 4, filled with the Holy Ghost. What do those two phrases mean? Are they the same thing? If you were to talk to the Pentecostals, to the Charismatics, to the Assembly of God, and I'm not saying their names to criticize them, I'm simply saying they would tell you that both of those are the same thing. That baptized with the Holy Ghost is the same as filled with the Holy Ghost. They say these two terms are used interchangeably. They're used interchangeably. So another one said they're not technical terms, but two different names for the same experience. All right, so a very common teaching, even R.C. Sproul, if you've ever read it or heard anything about him, teaches that both of these expressions are two expressions for the very same thing. I say this with all charity and generosity and compassion. They're wrong. These are not the same thing. The baptism with the Holy Ghost is not the same as being filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, you and I should have both of them. But they're not the same thing. Notice in chapter 1, verse number 4, Jesus said, "For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost." Who is he talking to? He's talking to his disciples. He's talking to his followers, to believers, that as of this point are without the Holy Ghost, because Jesus had to leave so the Comforter could come. You know that story in John chapter 14 and John chapter 16. The Comforter could not come till Jesus departed. And so the disciples were waiting for this promise from the Father, and they couldn't get it till Jesus ascended. And after He ascended on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost came down from heaven. So this was what Jesus was speaking about in chapter 1, verse 5. Now, I want to run a few verses here because I want you to see it. Go back to Matthew chapter 3. It's going to be a lot of Bible turning, and I have no idea if we'll actually get done with this evening or if we'll put off the second half of it till next Wednesday. But look at Matthew chapter 3. I want you to see every time that phrase is used in the Bible, baptized with the Holy Ghost. I want you to get a list of all six times, all right? That's all it's used. Is six times. I want you to get an idea of it, because when you see it and then compare it to filled with the Spirit, I think it'll be very easy to see that they're not the same thing. And you'll see that as we look at it. Matthew chapter 3, verse number 11. Here's John the Baptist, and he is preaching. In verse 1, in those days John the Baptist preaching. And in verse number 11, a very familiar thing that John said, he said this, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear." Notice this. "He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost." There's that phrase. Baptize with the Holy Ghost. "He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." Now, And with fire is not part of our study right now. But I'll chase that rabbit anyways. What does it mean, baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire? Mark does not use that phrase and with fire. John does not use that phrase and with fire. Matthew and Luke do. And it simply means this. He's telling those that are there, gathered to hear his preaching, that the Lord is going to baptize some of them with the Holy Ghost and some of them with fire. Again, those that put the baptism and the filling as the same thing will tell you that the same group gets the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the baptism of fire. And biblically speaking, that baptism of fire is reserved for the unconverted. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is for the converted. All right? There's two baptisms there. You're saved, you get baptized by the Holy Ghost. You're not saved, you get baptized. The word baptized means immerse. It means to dip under. If you're not saved, you get baptized in fire. That's called a lake of fire. So that's the opposite of being baptized in water, in a body of water, dipped under, immersed in it. But he said, John said, you'll be baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire. That's Matthew 3, verse 11. That is the first time that the phrase baptized with the Holy Ghost appears in the Bible. The second time is in Mark. All of these, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, by the way, are the same account from the four Gospels. So it's not four different times, it's really the same time, but each writer is recording it at the same time. Mark chapter 1, verse number 8. Mark chapter 1, verse number 8. I indeed have baptized you with water, but He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Alright? I baptize with water, John. He, Jesus, will baptize with the Holy Ghost. Now can you get this? John the Baptist is saying, He will baptize. That's future. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Jesus is going to be born. He's going to walk the earth for 30 years. He's going to begin His ministry that goes 3.5 years. Then He's going to be crucified. Then He's going to give them the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So when this is written in Mark chapter 1, it's 33 years in the future that it's going to happen. All right? This is all clear factual stuff. Nobody can debate that or argue that. Yet they do. But when John says, He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost, Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, it hasn't happened yet. It's going to happen many days hence. After His life, His crucifixion, His burial, His resurrection, 40 days later, He says it's going to happen soon. John's talking about it 33.5 years earlier, saying it's going to happen. Hasn't happened yet, hasn't happened before, hasn't happened till then. It'll happen then, the baptism with the Holy Ghost. Look at Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3. Here again, we find it worded the same way that Matthew worded it. Luke chapter 3, verse number 16. John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. All right, there Luke says it the same way Matthew did. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. We're not looking at the fire part necessarily. We're looking at the Holy Ghost. That's the third time it is predicted that Jesus will baptize with the Holy Ghost. So it's a future event. All right, John chapter 1. It's in Matthew, it's in Mark, it's in Luke, it's in John. Not surprising. John chapter 1. There's a reason I'm showing you all four of these. These are four of the six times that the phrase appears. It's only six times in the Bible. John chapter 1, verse number 33. John says, And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. The fourth time that phrase is used in the Bible. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Jesus is going to baptize with the Holy Ghost. All right? So here's the key. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all use the same phrase, and they all tell us He's going to do it, but it's yet future. It doesn't happen at the beginning of His ministry. Doesn't even happen during His earthly ministry. Because now we go to Acts chapter 1, verse 5, where we started, and Jesus said here, 40 days after His resurrection, you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. It's about to happen. It's about to come. 3.5 years after Jesus began His ministry. 33.5 years after He was born. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is about to take place. The sixth time that it appears is here in the book of Acts also, and that's in chapter 11. And there's where it brought it to my attention, because we were in Acts chapter 11 last Sunday morning. But notice that Peter here quotes John. Well, he quotes Jesus in Acts 1:5, who was quoting John, but in Acts chapter 11, verse 16, Peter says, "Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how He said, Jesus said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost." This is the last time that phrase is used. It's used very sparingly. 4 times, a prediction of a future event. Jesus will baptize with the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 1 telling us that after all this waiting, it's about to happen. It's almost 33.5 years after Jesus is born. It's about to happen. In Acts chapter 11, we find out it happened to Cornelius' household when those Gentiles got saved, to show the Jews that the same thing that happened to the Jews in Acts 2 happened to the Gentiles in Acts 11. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. Here's what the baptism of the Holy Ghost does. It puts a person into the body of Christ. All right? That's the key to remember. This is what the baptism of the Holy Ghost does. It puts a person into the body of Christ. We're going to see why that's different from being filled with the Spirit, because that's completely different. Baptism puts someone into the body of Christ. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And verse number 13. The Jews on the day of Pentecost were already followers of Jesus Christ, already believers in Christ, but they did not have the Holy Ghost. They had not been put into the body of Christ because the body of Christ had not yet started. It started there in Acts 2 on the day of Pentecost. They were baptized with the Holy Ghost. In Acts chapter 11, the Gentiles were introduced to the body of Christ. An amazing thing to Peter and the Jews, but now the Gentiles are part of it. And so they, in Acts chapter 11, were baptized with the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, did I say 12? And verse number 13. Notice what it says here. "For by one Spirit we are all baptized." There's Spirit baptism. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. "For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews," Acts 2, "or Gentiles," Acts 11, "whether we be bond or free, and have all been all made to drink into one Spirit." When you got saved, like those in Acts chapter 11, you got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You were put into the body of Christ. You were immersed into the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God was immersed into you. It's a wonderful operation. You were put into the Spirit of God. You were overwhelmed. You were put into the body of Christ, and the Spirit, the end of verse number 13, the Spirit was put into you. That's why salvation can't be duplicated or imitated. You can't sign your name to a church roll and get that. You can't get baptized in water and get that. You can't do good works enough good works to get that. That comes by an act of faith. By the washing of regeneration, the Bible tells us in the book of Titus. And it comes when we trust Christ as our Savior. When we trust Christ as our Savior, we are baptized in the Holy Ghost, by the Holy Ghost, with the Holy Ghost. It's a one-time occurrence. Jesus, John the Baptist said, it's going to happen. Jesus is going to come and He's going to do it. Jesus said, after His death, burial, and resurrection, it's right around the corner, fellas, it's going to come. And the Jews got it in Acts chapter 2. The Gentiles got it in Acts chapter 11. You don't read about it again after that, but we find out that that is repeated for every person that puts their faith and trust in Christ. It is a difficult thing to judge someone's conversion experience. So what do you mean by that, preacher? Well, we tell folks, and we do this, I'll say, if you're not saved, bow your head and repeat these words. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve to go to hell. The best I know how, I trust You to come into my heart and save me. There's nothing wrong with that. But you know, not everybody says those words when they get saved. You know what Paul said? Lord, what wilt Thou have me to do? That's not much of a salvation prayer right there. It's not the words. It's the heart. It's not the words, it's the heart. There's nothing wrong with having that little prayer for those that need assistance in praying something to help them. But they don't. I've led people to Christ and they said, I'll pray on my own. And they prayed the worst prayers I've ever heard in my life. This guy doesn't know how to pray. Well, he's never prayed before. But the best he knew how, he was asking the Lord to forgive his sins and save his soul. It doesn't matter how good the prayer is. It just matters that they made it. We use the example, and this is not a great example. Peter is out walking on the water and begins to sink under. Now, this is not his soul's salvation. This is his body's salvation when he sinks under. All he said was this, Lord, save me. And Jesus reached down and pulled him up. As a type of spiritual salvation, that's all you need. You don't need some big elaborate prayer. You don't need some big plan. Somebody can simply come to God at the best way they know how. And at that point, when that happens, they are baptized with the Holy Ghost. And they are put into the body of Christ. That's why conversion is a necessity. People can't just say, well, I go to church, so I'm a Christian. Well, my parents were Christians, so I'm a Christian. No, there has to be a personal decision to trust Christ. Without it, you don't get put into the body of Christ. You're put in the body of Christ by making a commitment to Jesus Christ. Whether how elaborate or how ill-spoken, you make a commitment to Christ. You're baptized with the Spirit. Now the second phrase is filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, and I hope this will be very clear. When did the baptism with the Holy Ghost begin? It began at the day of Pentecost. All right? Are we clear on that? It was predicted by John the Baptist. Jesus is going to do it. That means it didn't happen before Him. Jesus said it's going to happen soon. So at the end of His 33 and a half years, His death, burial, and resurrection, then He says 40 days later, it's going to happen soon. So it's not until the day of Pentecost that that baptism occurs. And in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 4, it says this, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Now I'm going to make a statement here that's going to sound very brash and unwise, maybe. That is not this. 1:5 said, ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. 2:4 says, you're filled with the Holy Ghost. Now here's why I say they're different. Remember our timeline. This is key. You say, preacher, you keep repeating that. This is the key, the timeline. The baptism with the Holy Ghost did not begin until 40 days, at least 40 days after the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the grave. But being filled with the Spirit? If it's the same thing, then it can't start till Pentecost, right? Are you with me? Am I tricking you? Am I pulling a fast one? I'm trying to make sure you're following me. And no, I'm not. This is very clear. The baptism of the Holy Ghost did not happen until Pentecost to get the Jews into the body of Christ, then Acts 11 to get the Gentiles into the body of Christ. Now it happens with every person that believes in Jesus Christ as their Savior. But filled with the Spirit is not the same. It did not start. There it is at Pentecost on Acts 2:4. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. There it is, but watch this. Go back to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. We saw in Luke chapter 3 that John predicted that Jesus would come and baptize people with the Holy Ghost. He predicted in chapter 3. And yet then it was still 33 and a half years away. But notice what's recorded two chapters even before the prediction of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Luke chapter 1. Start in verse 13. The angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. All right, you know what's going on here. Zacharias is a priest in the temple. He's been waiting for the Messiah, and an angel comes down and tells him his wife Elizabeth is going to have a son, and they're going to name him John. That's John the Baptist. Verse 14, And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. John the Baptist. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. Now watch. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Ghost 33 and a half years before anybody was baptized with the Holy Ghost. All right, you got that? This is a prediction. Zacharias is being told that his son, John the Baptist, is going to be born. The one that's going to announce in two chapters that Jesus will come and baptize with the Holy Ghost. Before all that happens, the Bible says he will be filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. Now, let me say this. When we think about this being filled with the Spirit, can we say that John is exceptional? He's filled from his mother's womb. All right. Jesus said, of those born among women, there's not arisen a greater than John the Baptist. Don't use him as your example for life, because he's a pretty haughty example. He was filled with the Spirit from his mother. But what I want you to notice is filled with the Spirit predates the baptism of the Holy Ghost by 33 and a half years. Because John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Ghost. Look in this same chapter. Elizabeth goes to meet Mary, her cousin. Mary is with child also, 6 months behind her. But Mary is with child also. That child, of course, is Jesus. And the Bible says that in verse 39, that Mary arose in those days and went into a hill country with haste, into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, all right, when Elizabeth recognized Mary's voice, and Mary said, Hi, Lizzie, whatever she said, Hi, Elizabeth, the babe leaped in her womb, John the Baptist, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. So now you got two people, John the Baptist and his mother, Elizabeth, both filled with the Holy Ghost 33 and a half years before there is any baptism of the Holy Ghost. Filled with the Holy Ghost predates the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Luke chapter 1. Look down a little bit farther. They're trying to find out the name for the baby. The baby's born, as by Jewish custom back there, they didn't name him right away. And Elizabeth said, we're going to name him John. And they said, you don't have any relatives by that name. Why would you name him John? So they go to Zacharias to ask him. Verse 63. And he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, his name is John. And they marveled. And his mouth was opened immediately. He'd been deaf since that. Couldn't speak, and his tongue loosed, and he spake, and praised God. And fear came on all them that dwelt round about, and all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. Verse 66. And they that heard them laid up these words, saying, What manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. Verse 67. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost. John the Baptist, Elizabeth, Zacharias, filled with the Holy Ghost 33 and a half years before there is any baptism of the Holy Ghost. They can't be the same thing. The golden rule I'd say a Bible interpretation, but it's more of everything in life. Things that are different are not the same. That's profound, isn't it? The baptism of the Holy Ghost, filled with the Holy Ghost, if they were the same thing, it would say the same thing. But here were three that were filled with it long before there was any baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now go back over to the book of Acts. Here's what I will propose, and this is neither here nor there. You say, well, Jesus said in Acts 1:5, ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. In Acts chapter 2, verse 4, it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. So that must be the same thing. Well, we've already seen that they can't be the same thing because one predates the other. So why does being filled with the Holy Ghost in verse 4, why is that a fulfillment of being baptized with the Holy Ghost, chapter 1, verse 5? And the answer is, it's not. Look back at let's start in verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. They're in a room together. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing wind. Here comes the Holy Ghost. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. That is the baptism of the Holy Ghost in verse number 2. It filled all the house. It didn't fill them. It filled all the house where they were sitting. They were immersed in, dipped under, baptized into the family of God when the Spirit filled the room. And the result was, verse number 4, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Don't take 1:5 and 2:4 and make them the same thing. Baptism of the Holy Ghost and filled of the Holy Ghost are not the same thing. The baptism happens one time. It happens at conversion, whether Jew or Gentile, bond or free. It happens at one time at conversion, and we're baptized into the Spirit. The being filled with the Spirit is a completely different, I don't want to say animal, doesn't sound like the right thing, a completely different thing. You know how I know that? Who is filled with the Spirit in chapter 2, verse 4? The 120 that were in the upper room, right? Who does that include? Does that include the 12 apostles? Not a trick question. Yes, it does. You go back to chapter 1, verse number 13, and it lists the 11 apostles minus Judas Iscariot and then Matthias, which they elected at the end of chapter 1. So the 12 apostles, along with the rest of the brethren are all in that room when it is filled with the Holy Ghost. And then they walk out filled, when they are baptized in the Holy Ghost, and they walked out filled with the Spirit, that includes the apostles. Look at chapter 4. Verse number 5, it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them, the apostles, in the midst, they asked, by what power, by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost. That's not a carryover from Acts chapter 2. That's Peter being filled again with the Holy Ghost. So it's repeated. Look at chapter 4, verse 31. Here's a group of people again meeting together. Peter and John had been whipped and beaten, and they, being let go in verse 23, they went to their own company. That own company, when they had prayed, verse 31, the place was shaken where they assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Peter's there. He's filled in Acts chapter 2. He's filled in Acts chapter 4. He's 4:8. He's filled again in Acts chapter 4, verse 31. The filling with the Spirit is not a one-time thing. It is a repeated action. It's not the same as the baptism with the Holy Ghost. Filled with the Holy Ghost is something you experience can experience more than one time in your life. Look at another example. Look at Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, verse 17. Acts 9:17. And Ananias went his way, entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight, notice, and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, may I say this? Saul of Tarsus was baptized in the Holy Ghost 3 days before this, on the road to Damascus. 3 days later, Ananias meets him and lays hands on him, and his scales fall off of his eyes, and he is filled with the Holy Ghost. They're not the same event. They happen at different times. Paul was filled with the Holy Ghost when Ananias laid hands on him. Look at Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. Barnabas and Saul are called to be missionaries. They go out to the island of Cyprus. They go through the city of Paphos in verse 6. And verse 8, Elymas, the sorcerer, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Verse 9, then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost. Here's Saul of Tarsus that was baptized or filled with the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 9, again filled with the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 13. It happened more than one time. They're not the same thing. The baptism in the Holy Ghost happens at conversion. It happens once in your lifetime. The filling of the Spirit happens repeatedly during your life in times where you need it. Peter needed it at least 3 different times that it's recorded. Saul needed it at least 2 different times when it was recorded. Let me wrap this up by explaining it this way. Filled with the Holy Ghost. The Bible says in Luke chapter 4, verse 28, that the enemies of Christ were filled with wrath. Look at that word, filled. Okay, we're not turning there, but Luke 4:28. They were filled with wrath. What did that mean? That means they were controlled by their wrath. They're filled with wrath. It consumed them. It controlled them. It dictated their actions. In Acts chapter 5, verse 17, the Bible says about those that were opposed to Paul and the others, they were filled with indignation. Well, look at this one. Since it's in Acts, look at Acts 5:17. I'll try to wrap this up quick. I want you to know, we didn't look at Luke chapter 4, but if you go back to look at Luke chapter 4, verse 28, they were filled with wrath and sought to slay him. They were controlled. They were consumed by wrath, and it produced an action. They tried to slay him. Acts chapter 5, verse number 17. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with them, the sect of the Sadducees, they were filled with indignation and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. They were filled with indignation. They were controlled by their indignation, and it produced a result. They put them into the common prison. Look at Acts 13. I know we're doing a lot of turning back and forth, and you're doing a lot of writing, and you're going to go home and say, what was all that again? Luke chapter 13, verse 45. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy. Acts 13:45. They were filled with envy. They were controlled by envy. They were consumed by envy. And it caused a reaction. The Bible says, They were contradicting and blaspheming. In the Bible, when the word filled is used, it's used to indicate somebody is under the influence of, controlled by, consumed by, and it produces an action. If you go back and look at all those instances that we gave you filled by the Holy Ghost, every one of those times means they were controlled by the Spirit of God. They were overwhelmed by the Spirit of God. And every time the Holy Ghost filled them, it produced a reaction. For Paul, the last one, Elymas the sorcerer, and Paul rebuking him. Every time filled with the Holy Spirit of God, when Peter was filled with the Spirit of God, he spoke out against them. He preached hard. He preached straight. Here's the gist of it. Here's what I want you to get this evening. And again, this is such a simplified one-time teaching of it. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is what happened to you when you got saved. You got it then. It'll never be taken away from you. We could tie that into the security of the believer. When you got saved, you were baptized into the body of Christ. You are part of the body of Christ. There are some that worry they can lose their salvation. That would have to mean, and I'm not trying to be facetious, it'd have to mean that God would perform an abortion. God would go in and surgically remove you from the body of Christ if you can lose your salvation. Because at your salvation, at your born-again experience, you were put into the body of Christ. You're in His body. You can't be taken out. It happens one time. It only has to happen one time to Jew and Gentile alike, to anybody who puts their faith in Christ. Baptized with the Holy Ghost. Now filled with the Holy Ghost. Look at Ephesians 5. This will be the last verse we'll turn to, I think. Ephesians 5. You know this verse. Verse 18. Ephesians 5, verse number 18. Paul says this to the believers at Ephesus. The baptism of the Holy Ghost happens to unbelievers when they become believers. They're put in the body of Christ. Filled with the Spirit happened to Zacharias, Elizabeth, Peter, Paul, not Mary. For those of you that are following me there, you didn't get it. All right. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. Notice this. But be filled with the Spirit. You and I are to be filled with the Spirit. How do we do that? Is there some formula? Is there some program? How do you get filled with the Spirit? You don't. You walk in the Spirit. The Bible tells us, walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know all the stuff about love not the world, neither the things are in the world. If any man love the world, love the Father is not in him. All that stuff about separation, all that. You know why that's for? So you can be filled with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is already in you. But He wants to bubble up and consume you. He wants to control you. But the only way He can do that is if you allow Him to, by separating from worldliness and wickedness and ungodliness so He can work through you for a special task. And there's the key. Every time someone was filled with the Spirit of God, it was for a specific task. It wasn't just so they could walk around and say, I'm filled with the Spirit of God. It wasn't just so everybody look at them and say, boy, there's a gleam, a glow about you. Every time it happened, it was to prepare them to take a bold action for Jesus Christ. You want to be filled with the Spirit of God? Walk in the Spirit and await your opportunity to be used for God. It might be that time when you're put on the hot seat for your faith. Are you a Christian? Are you one of those kind? Are you one of those? If you've been walking in the Spirit, you know what will happen right then? God will fill you with His Spirit. It's already there. And it's not like, well, you get half... The Holy Ghost is a person. All right, he's not a force. He's not a liquid, a solution. He's a person. And you, when you got baptized with the Holy Ghost and in the Holy Ghost, you got the Holy Ghost in your heart. If any man have not the Spirit of God, he's none of his. You've got him already. But he fills you, he uses you for a specific task when it's needed, when you're serving God, because you've been walking in the Spirit. Do you follow that? He's not going to fill somebody with the Spirit of God that's living a worldly Christian life. When they get on the hot seat, if they ever would, for their faith or something, have to take a stand, the Lord's not going to fill them. It's just not going to happen. But when you're walking in the Spirit and controlling the lust of the flesh, none of us are sinless or perfect. And then there's an opportunity to be a bold statement for the Lord. The Lord will fill you with His Spirit. Some folks, when their feet get to the fire, are filled with indignation, filled with wrath, filled with anger, maybe filled with envy. But the servant of the Lord is filled with the Holy Ghost for a specific task, to do whatever it is that God has for you to do. And thank God, when He puts us in a situation where we can be a bold testimony for Him, He promises that if we will do that, He will fill us with His Spirit. We're not in this thing alone. We don't have to tackle it by ourselves. We can be a bold witness for Him. You folks, some of you folks are reading those books back there on those tables, and you are amazed at what those people could go through for the cause of Christ. Some of the things they suffered, the losses they experienced, some that they intentionally walked away from. You know what the thing was? Every time God gave them an opportunity to be used in service for Him, He filled them with the Spirit. They could handle that situation. You and I look at it and say, boy, I don't think I could do that. I don't think I could make that kind of sacrifice. I don't think I could bury a wife or children on the mission field or this thing or that thing. Hey, if you're in that position and God gives you a task to handle, He'll fill you with His Spirit. Doesn't make it easy. Doesn't gloss it over. But it makes it effective in the will of God. Baptism of the Holy Ghost, one time at conversion. Filled by the Holy Ghost. Controlled by, happens often during life, depending on our walk with the Lord and our testimony for Him. If you ever meet somebody and tells you, well, those are both the same thing, can't be. If you study your Bible, they can't be. They can't be interchangeable phrases. One happened 33 and a half years before the other one happened. The one that we would say is greater, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, didn't happen until 33 and a half years after some folks were filled with the Holy Ghost. Can't be the same thing. But thank God you and I can experience both of them. The baptism of the Holy Ghost at conversion, the filling of the Holy Ghost when we allow God to control us and use us. Let's stand together tonight with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. God, again tonight, we are so thankful for Your book. Lord, those words that are inside the covers of that book are amazing words. They're not contradictory. They are not impossible to understand. Lord, but some things require some study. That's why You told us to study to show ourselves approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing. And Father, tonight we have divided the baptism of the Holy Ghost from the filling of the Holy Ghost. I pray, Lord, that You've helped me to make the message clear. Lord, that is always my challenge, to make it understandable. Father, I believe that it is in line with the Word of God. I'm thankful for the day I was baptized in the Holy Ghost, June 1st, 1975, when I received Christ as my Savior. I'm thankful, Father, throughout my life there are times that I have felt that filling as I served You and needed a little extra boost, a little extra blessing at the time. And I'm thankful, Father, I can look forward to that any time in the future when it's needed also. We're thankful for the example of those that had them, Zacharias, John the Baptist, Elizabeth, Peter, Paul, the others. Father, help us to realize those folks are not superheroes and super saints. They were common people just like us. And what they experienced, we can experience also. In Jesus' name.